This is Professor Will Boon, Winston-Salem State University, Department of English. Today we have a great artist, talented artist, Van Dorn Hennett in studios. Van Dorn, how you doing today?
Wonderful, Will. Great to be here. Thank you.
Yes. So we have a bunch of things to talk about. I mean, you and I have had a number of conversations offline about art, but kind of want to focus in this conversation a bit. Recently, you opened an exhibit downtown Winston-Salem, Together We Were Eyes. Can we talk just a bit about that piece and your thoughts on it?
Yes. The city of Winston-Salem found it necessary to call for a sculpture to be commissioned by the city of Winston-Salem to commemorate the marriage of Salem with Winston that took place in 1913. So I responded to the call, and I was fortunate to receive the commission. So the work was actually installed the very first day of September, and we had the unveiling on September the 8th. And the city council attended, and a number of other people attended. It was a small group of people that attended. It was a beautiful event. The works are there. They're basically permanent. And that is not necessarily a permanent location, but the Corbening Plaza, which is actually named after one of the city's previous mayors, is the home for the sculptures currently. Mm-hmm. So they will be there until they're moved.
Do you want to talk about the materials? I mean, it's a very interesting, dynamic piece. Can you talk a bit about the materials and composition?
The materials are stainless steel on a concrete base that's also on a steel base. But what's most important is that the forms incorporate the golden proportion. And the golden proportion is something that has not been introduced to, as a phenomenon, has not been introduced to the general public, which is unfortunate, simply because the golden proportion is ubiquitous throughout the universe. And we do not know that as a collective. Missing that very important piece of information, we are not equipped to comprehend nature from philosophical, scientific vantage point. There are people that have been working towards the ends of introducing an awareness of the golden proportion to the general public for centuries, especially decades in America. But once again, most Americans, when you say the golden proportion, now people who have studied mathematics understand A is to B is B is to C. That has to do with this mnemonic progression that's called the golden proportion, where you have these terms that are called, well, in the West we say 1 to 1.618, but there's a different way of talking about that, which I won't talk today. It's in square roots, in the terms of square roots. And that's another piece of important information that's missing in the general public.
Well, that brings us, kind of bring the conversation forward. You have an exhibit that just opened. The reception is tomorrow at Dick's Gallery.
Yes.
Correct? Vibrations, frequency, and the phenomenon of relationship. So, yeah. It's a very interesting title. And so let's talk about math. I mean, there's a bunch of different things you're pointing to here.
Yes. The sciences are looking at ancient knowledge now and understanding that they are in a position to verify knowings that people have walked with for centuries or for millennia. So vibrations, everything is vibration. We understand that in general. Frequencies, spatial frequencies. So all space can be mapped as a phenomenon of spatial frequencies. So we have technology today that makes it possible to see evidence of spatial frequencies, of vibrations and what have you. Vibrations and spatial frequencies have existed forever. That's the nature of reality. But here we have science verifying something that many people have known for centuries, for millennia.
Well, it's interesting in that universities, Winston-Salem in particular, Winston-Salem State University, we're merging, art, science, math. And so, actually, I guess we're revisiting the past. And so you're merging these different seemingly disparate sort of areas. So, I mean, how important is that for young students in particular to understand, let's just say artists, young artists, to understand this connection between, let's say, math and art, or math and aesthetics, or,
I would say it's essential. One of the statements that I make has to do with critical and clear thinking. So it turns out that we have been miseducated as a collective when it comes to geometry and understanding of geometry. So when you revisit what Euclid offered us. And when you revisit it via someone who understands what Euclid was attempting to convey, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. then the lights go on in the room. Mm-hmm. Yes, mm-hmm. And then people began to see connections. I was just sitting with a young lady yesterday, an art student who was doing a project for us, and I showed her evidence of how you create perpendicularity and parallel. You do it via a relationship between two points on a plane that then become the centers of two circles that share that radius, and then you build on that. That's how you get perpendicularity and parallel, via the introduction of two points on a plane that then become the centers of two circles that share a radius. Now, Euclid offers us that in Book 1, Proposition 1, as a way to look at the question of relationship. So we have Venn diagrams that have been used. I was in an auto shop one year, and I was working on a project, and a young kid came over fascinated with what I was doing, and I actually gifted him this very image here that's in the exhibition called Five Concentric Circles. I gifted him a copy of it, and he went home with it. I have no idea who it is, where he went. But the point is that this kid was fascinated, and he said to me, "Oh, Venn diagrams." This kid, you know, young kid, maybe in the fifth grade, I'm not sure. But the point is that we're given small pieces of information, and we're not given the complete picture. So when we begin to offer the complete picture to our students, the lights will go on in the room, and then change will really happen. Okay?
I want to open a conversation up a bit, but along these same lines. Historically Black colleges and universities. I mean, you're on campus all the time. This exhibit is opening here at Diggs.
And
so
runs until
March 31st.
31st yes. of March. Yes. Yes.
So what role, I guess this is sort of a pointed question, what role, as you see it, will HBCUs play in sort of, you know, how can I say it, the dispersing of knowledge, this knowledge that you're speaking of, this bridging between math and art and all these different things. I mean, HBCUs, 21st century, their role in the art world as you see it, as an artist.
First, value has to be recognized for those messengers who carry this information, okay? The first step is to recognize the value of the messengers. It's on administration, whoever, to look for the messengers that are carrying this very important central message. We have a lot of territory that we can cover, and we have a lot that we can recover, but we have to offer the messengers an opportunity to deliver the message and not be afraid.
I think it speaks directly to your art in particular, in that, you know, your art seems to have a purpose. You know, it's not art for art's sake, so to speak.
Exactly.
So, I mean, can you talk about your art and the role that will play more specifically in this process? Do you see your art as political? Do you see your art?
I certainly see my work being expressly political, in the sense that when we see an expression or a manifestation of beauty, many of us have not been conditioned to understand that that beauty has an impact upon the conscious and the subconscious or the unconscious mind, okay? So a person might recognize beauty at a conscious level, but something's happening internally. There's a dialogue there. So beauty begets beauty begets beauty, love begets love begets love. That's something that's understood in certain circles, but we in the field of education must wrap our minds and our hearts around that simple fact and walk with it as part of our understanding, so that we can empower our students with that understanding, so that they can do what, well, let's say that, so that they can realize their potential in the world. Okay, when the dean was visiting the gallery the day after the gallery, we finished the installation, you know, we talked, and I said, it is important for us to empower our students so that they can be the leaders that they desire to be. And hidden in all of them is a desire to lead, to be wayshowers. And we are the wayshowers that have to show them the way, but we have to be cognizant of the way. And when I say the way, that's a tricky proposition, because I have a beautiful poem that says lots of things about the way, and at the end of the poem it says, and the way is no way at all. Mm. So, you know, it's the mystery, the paradox, and we find the greatest truth inside of